your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, or Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, in doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodabah of Mareshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. The first section I have as verses 1 through 13. And in this passage we have notice that after this settling that we saw in the last chapter, the reformation that was prosecuted by Jehoshaphat, it came to pass after this that the children of Moab, Ammon, and Seir rose up against Jehoshaphat to battle. A lesser man would have said something like, Lord, I've done all this stuff for you. How come you're not blessing me? Or, even worse, in all these reformations that you're prosecuting here, Jehoshaphat, obviously the Lord is not pleased. He stirred up your enemy against you. Okay, so we understand what it means to read Providence and how very often what we find written in Providence are the things that we expected to find or that we wanted to find. It's easy to make some use out of Providence one way or another according to our wills. What do we say about this passage? That the Lord is going to continue to bless Jehoshaphat. That's the witness of the Scripture. That he's going to continue to bless Jehoshaphat now in the face of great difficulty. Whereas before, perhaps, he would not have been able to stand up in the face of such a great company. Now he has seen already the works of the Lord in the scenario with Ahab. He has had the chastisement of the prophet upon him. He has learned from that and prosecuted a reformation in his realms. And it seems to me then that the Lord is advancing his maturity in his estate as king, now by stirring up the enemies of God and him against him. How about we think of it that way instead? We note also that the three nations that are stirred up are nations, as Jehoshaphat will say in his prayer, that the Lord forbade the Israelites from attacking when they came out of Egypt because they were blood relation to them. Remember, Moab and Ammon are born of the illicit marriage between Lot and his daughters, the nephew of Abraham, and then Seir is Esau, brother to Jacob. And the Lord said, you will not attack these. I have given them these lands. You don't go into their land. And so they return that favor by rising up against them, by rising up against the Israelites. So what does Jehoshaphat do then? Well, he is already prepared for this because he has prosecuted his reformation already. And so what does he do? He proclaims a fast. Notice, we don't hear anything about his preparing his soldiers and commanding the generals into the field and make sure that training is ready to go and, you know, sharpen up your swords and sharpen up your spears and brighten up your shields. We don't hear any of that. The preparation that Jehoshaphat undertakes as the king of the nation is to call for a fast throughout Jerusalem and Judah. Jehoshaphat knows who controls the affairs of men. He's seen it played out. He's watched it happen. He has felt the rebuke of the prophet. He has taken to that chastisement and made use of it. And so we see a very mature Jehoshaphat here calling upon the people of the land to fast in the face of this attacking company, which is more than they could ever repel of themselves. My dear brothers and sisters, do you sense panic in Jehoshaphat? I don't. I don't sense panic in him at all. I sense trusting and resting. All of you have faced difficult circumstances at one time or another. All of you have faced difficulties that perhaps were endangering to your own lives. How do you respond in such a time as that? Call upon the Lord. This is what Jehoshaphat does. And so the text of his prayer is recorded for us here by the prophet. And there are some wonderful things that he says. Notice he extols the sovereignty of God. These kingdoms that are rising up against us, they're your kingdoms. You control them. They belong to you. And so what does Jehoshaphat say? This is not some cosmic battle between good and evil. This is God stirring up our enemies against us for his purposes, to glorify himself. And so he calls upon the people then not to fear. So all Judah, verse 13, stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They were waiting for an answer after Jehoshaphat prayed. Notice the faith. They're gathered together. They're fasting together. The king has prayed, and now they wait for the answer. Well, the Lord did not cause them to wait long. He stirred up Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah. And he stands up and prophesies. And what does he say? You're going to win. You're going to win, but not by any work of your own. Not by any armaments of your own. The battle belongs to the Lord. And notice how they applied that. What did they do when they went into battle? They put the priests and the orchestra up front when they went into battle. Now, how many armies do that? Oh, I know, you've all seen the Revolutionary War era films and things where, you know, you've got those guys out there on the pipe and the drums and so on. But those guys aren't in the front. It's line against line, right? You know, you've heard the make ready, and then they stand there out in the open and they shoot each other. One line falls and another one comes up behind it and so on. That's how they do their battle. Not here. No, in complete trust upon what the Lord had told them, they put unarmed priests in the front of the army to offer praise to the Lord, because it is a foregone conclusion in their minds that they're going to win. And so the priests go to the front of the army and they lead the procession praising God. And notice what the Lord did for them that day. He sent them a prophet. Oh my. He sent them a prophet. He sent them his word. Psalm 107, which is the long about the 20s somewhere. It was the text that George Wishart used when he came to Dundee when the plague was ravaging that city. He sent his word and healed them. That was his text. Isn't that what he did this day? He sent his word. He sent a prophet and healed them. He healed them of their fears. He healed them of their anxiety and worry, such that they went out to battle that day assured of a victory And they put the singers and the orchestra out front to offer praise before they had ever received it. So confident were they in their God. So they rose early in the morning. Notice that. Rising early in the morning always speaks in Scripture to an eagerness and a readiness to go do whatever that next step is. And so the Lord sent ambushments, right? And what did they end up doing? First of all, Moab and Ammon combined their forces against Edom, decimated Edom. And then the Lord turned Moab and Ammon against each other. Notice how unlikely a thing that is. After you have fought side by side against an army all day long, then you turn and fight with that army. And yet, that is how the Lord did it that day. And he brought down all of the enemies of the people of Israel, all of his own enemies, and he did so without them firing a shot, to bring it up to our language, without them shaking a sword or lifting a shield. My dear brothers and sisters, what a great picture of the grace of God. What a wonderful picture of grace that we will be delivered from our enemies without us ever raising up a work of our own. The battle is not yours. The battle for your salvation is not yours. It is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. And you can rest in Him and praise Him because it is a fait accompli. Right? So then we come to the end of the chapter, and again, Jehoshaphat, what are you doing? And so that sin by which he was previously rebuked of joining in force with Ahab, now he joins in force again with an Israelite king, Azariah, who had done very wickedly. And notice how the chapter ends then. It ends with Jehoshaphat joining himself with Ahaziah. He joins himself to make ships to go to Tarshish. We're going to go here, and this is not a joining for battle. This is a joining for business. So we're going to join up forces, north and south country. I'm going to join with Ahaziah because, you know, we have a common interest here. We'll go and we'll make ships to go to Tarshish, all the way out to the western end of the Mediterranean Sea, the Iberian Peninsula, perhaps as far as that. And we'll buy and sell and we'll trade and we'll bring back many goods. And the Lord broke their ships. He broke their ships because he did not want the people of God associating with the haters of God, as we heard in the last chapter. And so we look at Jehoshaphat and we recognize that he's gone back to the same well, although in a different fashion. He did not join arms with Ahaziah to go to battle, but he joined arms with Ahaziah to go to business. And the Lord says, no, not even in that will you join yourself to unbelievers. They have a different mindset entirely. Plus, what happens to those proceeds that go back to the northern kingdom? What are they going to do with them? Consecrate more wicked priests? Raise up more golden calves? Set up more false worship? How can we, as the people of God, contribute to such things as that? All right, thus ends the reading then of